Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, my God.
And now, Voices of the True Israelites with your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name.
Yahuwah's Radio. Worldwide International Radio Broadcast is now on the air. Yahuwah's Radio, Yahuwah's Ministry. I'll be your host by name, your Seer, Israel, of Seed Royal. We're doing a series called Unlocking the Biblical Mysteries of the Bible, part number 82. And remember one thing, we know it's going to be a long series because we got to maybe unlock scripture by scripture, verse by verse, chapter by chapter. We got a lot of stories that have been told, but when you investigate it, it don't add up. And so that's a good thing, and well, too, a good thing to those that is willing to learn, but it's a bad thing for those that have propaganda information since the time they got a hold to this information. All right, good. Let's throw it out on the international side and see who all join us. And we do see the memos, and we definitely going to touch on the memos because we tried to explain yesterday that we understand that this memo that's out there, and we're clear about that. But let's throw it out on the international side and see what we can get going on for take number 82, and on the international side, all the slots are filled. That's 195 international countries. And the Latter-day Saints did made it plainly that since we have teamed up with the WCC, the ministry that you, that the numbers that you did have this up on that block, it have doubled up, no doubt about it. So all eyes on Voices of the True Israelites. So all eyes on it, and one thing about it, we knew these days was coming, so it's all about doing one thing, getting in order and understand one thing. Those that's going to have an ear to hear it is going to hear. Those that's not, is not going to hear. Because remember, 3, 6, 9, 12 of the Israelites, 3, 6, 9, 12. 1, 3 is going to be teachers. A second 3 is going to be lost. The third 3 is already been lost. The fourth is lost. You got 9 and 12 is lost. You got 6 that looking for help. But you got to raise up the 3 to get them on their feet to go look for what? The 2 that's dead, 3rd that's dead, or the 3rd that is need to have sound information. That's a big thing. Matter of fact, I'm going to write that verse down. Zechariah, I'm going to write that verse down. I might touch on that verse. 13, verse 8, down to verse 10. Now, it got a lot of juice in that thing. Remember, we taught on it so many times. Remember, children of Israel, see what these big camps make a mistake at. They forget that the children of Israel is 12 tribes, and you got a third is 1, 2, 3, 4. A third is 3, 6, 9, 12. Somebody going to merge and teach to go and get the third that want to be helped. And the other two-thirds, they just don't gave up. They just don't gave up, see, right? So what you do? You go, you pull a dead off, or do you look for the one that wants to be helped? So it's up to you. All right. All the slop is filled on the international side. That's 195 international countries. So what the count is, I don't know. So what we're going to do, we're going to find IL and bring them in. Remember this special day, and I got the memos. And matter of fact, here, look what this big camp saying. See, would you please touch on the Passover, because we don't tell who we are. But would you touch on the Passover? Because we get ready to start our Passover in a few days. Is that correct? Well, you know, the Christians, they get ready to start their Easter in a few days. So is that correct? So, you know, it's just a lot on the table. We'll take a look at it. They're going to start their Easter in a few days, Lent and all that stuff, right? And we're going to start our, we'll take a look at a little bit of everything. Remember, this broadcast is a three-hour broadcast. So I'll tell you what we do. We got the memos, and we got the articles on the table, and we'll touch on whatever we can get our hands on in a few more minutes. But right now, I'm going to bring our elder in and tell you who bring this broadcast. And we meet the elder with a loud voice, you say, Elder Mr. Tibbs, Yahuwah be to their say right.
And Yahuwah bless you, Seer Israel, and see you, well. Hallelujah. Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah, the elder. Well, all the slots are spilt. And all things we do know from the Latter-day Saints, they're making it plain that the ministry by us coming on the network, whatever count you have is a double count than what you have, because there's a lot of us, and we're going to catch you in something along with Big Dolan out of New York. We're going to catch you in something. So keep that in your mind. You will be caught in something. We'll leave it like that. You take your time and do your part, and we'll take it from there. Take your time now, Elder. Mr. Tibbs, you're on the clock. Come on.
Once again, Yahuwah bless you, Seer Israel, and thank you for bringing me into tonight's broadcast. I think you're absolutely right. They will catch us in something. They will catch us in passing out the correct word of Yahuwah and teaching others that particular word. I do believe they're going to catch us in that. But in the times before and currently, even another thing we should touch on, there's been a dress code for the temple. Even at certain jobs, you'll find dress codes. And sometimes you're sent home if you don't comply with the dress code you're supposed to wear. Look what happens in the military. If you come out with the wrong color socks or wrong uniform, you get punished. Now, what happens in the Temple of Yahuwah if the proper clothes are not worn? You have to think, do you get punished? Do you get sent home? No, none of these things happen except the respect for Yahuwah's word, what he given us, is disobeyed. In Romans chapter 12, verse number 1, one says, beseech you therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of Yahuwah, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, righteous, acceptable unto Yahuwah, which is your reasonable service. So now when you're trying to set an example for others by keeping the Sabbath days, wearing a proper dress code for that particular day, the feast days, you may earn what we call that James 5:20 for getting someone to come away from their wicked ways. And we know what James 5:20 says. It's when he says, let him know that he which converted a sinner from the error of his ways, he shall save a soul from death and hide a multitude of sins. So one day, when you do that, you might hear of your good works from Yahuwah. You might hear that, well done, O loyal and faithful servant, which is given in Matthew 25:21. Remember, that road for salvation is very narrow. And that reminder for that narrow road is in 2 Esther, chapter 7, verse number 7. 7 says, the entrance therefore is narrow, and set in a dangerous place to fall, like if there was fire on the right hand and on the left, deep water. So we try to keep you out of that deep water and that fire, trying to keep you on that road to righteousness, learning about the word of Yahuwah, learning what the Bible protocol had been passed from the Father to the Son, to the minister spirits, to the seers and to the elder, to give this word unto you uncut. Some don't appreciate it, but we have to walk away from those that don't. We're a teacher. We can't learn from our students. But having knowledge The teacher gains more experience by teaching. This is why we welcome and thank all of you for attending our live broadcast of Yahuwah's ministry. We come to you live and open to you always with new and exciting topics from the King James Bible. First and foremost, about Yahuwah's word. Many people even ask, how can the seer and everybody get this much stuff from this one book? It comes from connecting the books, the word of Yahuwah, your health, foods that you should eat, keeping the Sabbath days, and much more. We do all this because you have not. This is information you came to seek. You have to look no further. You've now found it in the voices of the true Israelites, tribe of Yadah. We're open unto you from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And the days is Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday. Generally not having a class on Tuesday unless we have a high day or a special event. But we do have a Sabbath class. The top part of the Sabbath is Friday, the current time starting at 7:30 to 10:30. The bottom part of the Sabbath is Saturday. We have a temple class that starts at 12 p.m. and the online class that starts at 2 to 5 until the temple members desire to leave. We even have a website address. To use this on any search engine, type tribeyada.com. After you click enter, just under the big line, you will see choices. One will be tithes and offerings. Click PayPal and follow the instructions. Any other device you use, you might see menu. But after clicking this, again, you'll see choices. Still choose tithes and offerings, and doing so, remember what we often say when you read the book of Psalms, chapter 96, verse 7 and verse number 8. Verse 7 says, give unto the Yahuwah, O you kindreds of the people. Give unto the Yahuwah glory and strength. 8. Give unto the Yahuwah the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Now, I always remind everyone that when you're doing this, to remember that Yahuwah loves a cheerful giver. And also, donations to this ministry is greatly appreciated that you give according to the Bible scriptures that are mentioned in the book of Leviticus, chapter 27, verse number 30. And once again, mentioned in the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 8 and verse number 9. This is done to keep this ministry bringing you Thus Says Yahuwah live. Also for building the school, which we can see is very well needed. A banquet hall, radio station, and land to grow the health foods we continue to speak of on this program. Hallelujah, Yahuwah. Also while there, don't forget to check the calendar. The calendar will keep you, your family, and friends, including myself, in tune with the feast days that come to us throughout the year. We also have a live program. This feature is only available during the live broadcast time. Just enter three words, Yahuwah Radio Live. And after clicking it, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yahdah, and click the red live button as soon as it appears. It'll put you right into our live online broadcast. We currently also have a couple of email addresses that the listening members can use. The first is tribe, that's tribeyhdh at gmail.com. This is to write your written opinions and questions of a biblical subject answered or related topics. The other is yhdhysraeel@gmail.com, also for biblical subjects or related topics. We even have a few numbers you can call with Yahuwah in mind. The first is the live conference room number, which would be 319-527-6065. The other is 224-600-5579. This would be our international number. This is where you can call and leave a message on scriptures that you have questions on, which can be answered by any one of the 6 anointed camps of Yahuwah's ministry. And also by calling the same number, you can order what we have known today as our 12 programs via the 12 Tribes of Israel on DVD. Any particular 12 programs of your choice. On another note, please do not contact the seer via email, phone, or text before broadcast or afterwards. He is usually pretty busy, as most of us have seen, with the WCC, the New York Station stockholder, Mr. Cigar Man, and answering many, many memos besides that. And now, in later edition, even the Latter-day Saints. So please use the international line of 224-600-5579. And if the question is legit, you will receive a call back. Now, if you've happened to miss the beginning of our program, you can always listen to the entire show today at 9:15 p.m., except Fridays. Program time will be repeated after 10:30. Just enter three words, Yakwa Radio Live. After you click enter, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yada. Just choose the program you were late logging into, or at that point, any previous day that you would like to listen. Now, one good note. Also, during the normal Broad Talk broadcast, we are also transmitting our program simultaneously on Bell Talk, where the sound is crystal clear. We will be listed under ethnic group, African American. Look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yadah. You'll find this is where Yahweh's word is also working for your Bible education. Online there to answer any of the on-the-table topics we discussed during our program will be Elder Mr. Tibbs, along with Seer Israel, writing as Shaka. And during this time, we'll be taking no comments off topic or any more than two text questions answered at a time. But if Broad Talk ends before teaching time, we will continue our teaching on Pal Talk. Yahweh be with you all. But when you're giving the scriptures to speak by the seer, always be quick to hear and slow to speak, so the words of Yahweh flow smoothly, remembering that we're on an international broadcast. So at this particular time, we will turn our program back over to our seer Israel. Keep your Bibles open, where our learning process will continue. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh. I'm sitting up watching these memos. I can't even see the stream for all these memos on the stream, so I'm looking and trying to get where I can see who all coming on stage for the nice episode. And right now, I can't see nothing but a bunch of memos everywhere. So I want to get me a minute if I can wait until some of this. Maybe I'll see what you read. Well, I've been doing all that reading. So let me see. All right, I'm trying my best to get back on the network if I can see once I get past some of this writing on the network. We get past some of this writing so I can see. All right, so one thing about it, this is we will be touching on a few things pertaining to, again, Sia, don't call our camp out. But would you touch on the Passover? Because the Passover is real. We're going to be doing the Passover shortly. Is it correct? Would you touch back on Romans? Well, you got a lot of stuff on the table. We don't know what we're going to do. I'll tell you what we're going to do. I know what we're going to do. We're going to the network and see who all on stage for the nice episode number 82. Remember one thing, the foxtail have been lit and the curtain have went up. We'll see which way it go. We'll touch on what we can touch on. And let's see, can we go find the young lion and bring him in? And we'll just see, can we? One thing you got to understand something. This ministry is aimed for the six anointed camps of Voices of the True Israelites. Now, once we in order, I understand that, but this ministry is for the six anointed camps of Voices of the True Israelites. Once we in order, and we get past the parakeet teaching, because one thing about it, I recognize that in the six anointed camps, it's a lot of parakeet teaching. They just aren't repeating what they're hearing. And I've detected that, and that's not good. You got to know what you're saying. You got to know when something says, you got to be able to deal with it. So what we're going to do, we're going to continue down that line. So let's see if we can find young lion and bring him in. Because one thing about it, we can tell when you are, when you really own something and when you're not. You know, he gave us that discernment. And I'm not going to put nobody in a position where the point that they'll come back with defeated. And right now, the majority of the six anointed camps will be defeated if they was in a confrontational. According to the majority will be the call the way it is. That's got to call it is. I mean, my thing is to get the six anointed camps in order, but to get past being a parakeet. You have to know what you're saying. And once you know what you're saying, and you able to deal with it, sound it, I know it. I mean, you'll say that student, that they ready. They ready. Okay, good. They ready. It's, a lot of them is ready, but the majority of them is not. All right, enough said on that. So keep that in your mind. That's why, you know, we'll send some of your top debaters. We're not going to send nobody anywhere, regardless of you sending tickets or not. It's not the point. Point of it is, this ain't about you. It's about getting us in order, but we got to know what we're saying in order. And once we in order properly, then Yahweh gonna open the door and say, take it from there. Yeah, you know, so let me write that down. I got to make a note of that with my pen in it. I comes in with a fresh sheet of paper and a pen, because I, like I said again, it's amazing the stuff that we have to hear. And once we turn the internet on, see, when we turn it on, so we don't turn it on to about around this time right here, 3 minutes four, and I'm going to write that down. I got to write something down, because I'm going to get at it. I'm going to get at this too, so I got to make a note of it. All right, enough said on that. Let's see if we get something going on. So we meet the young lion out of camp one, up and coming teacher out of camp one with a loud voice. You say, Brother Micaiah, Israel, tribe of Yahdah, Judah, come out of camp one. Yahweh bid you there, see you, Roy.
Yahweh bless you, see you, Israel. I see you, Roy. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh. And also we got on stage for the nice episode will be Campo, Detroit, Michigan. So Princess Leora Israel, tribe of Yahdah, Judah. Yahweh bid you there, see you, Roy.
Yahweh bless you, Sir Israel C. Royal, but I'm on the road. I'm not at home.
Well, yeah, you on the road. You all, well, I know you on the road, but you was going somewhere and spread some books out and take care of a couple of hypocrites. I got you. Yeah, that's all right. That's good. Remember one thing: as long as you're doing Yahweh's business, you always got time for Yahweh Bennett. That's a great thing. So I got you, Princess Leora Israel. Brother Micaiah, Yahweh be with you again, and I say like this, Luke chapter 12, verse 12. Let's see if we can get something going on there, Brother Micaiah, young lion. Come on.
Book of Luke chapter 12, verse 12. Verse 12 reads, For the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you are to say.
That's right. In that very same hour, the righteous spirit. But I have to go back to this memo that I was called to the carpet yesterday, because I want to put a verse with it. I didn't have time yesterday to put a verse with it. I want to go back to this why I was not on the radio station. And I want to go back to this March 13, 2022. Donald Trump was at a fundraiser whatever he was at. And the question was, how are we on the defense on this, he was in North, South Carolina, March 13, 2022. And he's saying that we got to stop apologizing for critical race theories. Critical race theories, because can't nobody prove all that stuff that happened in the past. Can't nobody prove it. That's a critical race theory. And he says, and we have to stop having critical race theories taught in our school system. It's a matter of national survival. Now, that was the key word. See, when them words were said, telling them it's a matter of national survival, and you're supposed to be able to go on your computer and put up former President Donald Trump's speech of March 13, 2020. But this is a code word here. He said, this got to stop. And tell them, and remember, where he was at in South Carolina, that's one of the main, one of the most Ku Klux Klan stronghold in South Carolina. So when he used the word called matter of national survival, that was a big word right there. See, that big word, it just get over the best of them head, but those that had an ear to hear, they heard that. A matter of national survival. That means the school system should not be talking about nothing, because there's nothing but a theory about the past of slavery and anything happened about a people's distance. Let all that go and let's move forward. We'll talk more on that a little bit later. Tell me one thing. If I didn't get no Luke, I need to give a bit more. Luke chapter 12, verse 12. Brother McKaiser, one more time, come on.
All right. The book of Luke, chapter 12, verse 12. Verse 12 reads, "For the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say."
Mm-hmm. The righteous spirit will teach you in the very same hour what you ought to say. And what do it say in Nehemiah 2, verse 10 there, Brother McKaiser? In Nehemiah 2, verse 10, can you help me out? What do it say that we can read in Nehemiah 2, verse 10?
Okay, going to book of Nehemiah, chapter 2, verse 10. Verse 10 reads, "When Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, heard of it, it grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the family of Israel."
So you see, it's nothing new about that. You always can be going to be grieved when someone is coming to wake up a people that is spiritually is dead. They're spiritually dead. Now, in the book, the regular book called Esther, can you help me out? What do it say in the regular book of Ezra? But matter of fact, but leave the words as it is there, because see, I want to lay the words out, then I'm gonna correct them up the road. But I just, the way you read it, try to let it be. You know, I want to deal with it according to spirit led. In the book of Esther, chapter 3 there, Brother Micaiah, I need that word to Judah stay there and all that. All these little words to stay there just to be pounded in your system. And then when we go and hit that home run on it, it'll be all right. Esther, chapter 3, 8 down to verse 10. Brother Micaiah, you back on the clock. Come on.
Okay. We're going to the book of Esther, right? Esther.
Yeah, the regular book, of Esther. And we're going to talk about somebody. And let's see what he said. Because remember, this what I'm going at, but I'm trying to, by being on this national stage right here. See this statement right here, this is a powerful statement. A matter of national survival. See, this is what you got to hear, the key, the code words. You say, if this racial, critical race theory do not stop, and it's continued, and you take it out of school, because it's nothing but a theory, but we have to not apologize for what happened in the past, because really ain't nothing but a theory anyway. We got to stop apologizing for that and move forward. It's a matter of national survival. That's big talker there. See, that's big. That means what they really saying to you is that the one that teaching this stuff, they need to find some kind of way to slow it down to the maximum and do the same thing that was told. Hold that point. They got to do the same thing that was told in the book of Maccabees, particularly 141. Hold that point. Come back here again. See, it's how the little spirit operates. You talk so long, you say, yeah, see, that sounds pretty good, but you own something. Now go to first book Maccabees 141 and read down to verse 59, and it'll tie in what you're saying. Oh, okay. So I got to write it now. First Maccabees chapter 1, verse 41 down to 59. So it's going to tell a story. So let's see what it says. First Maccabees chapter 1, verse 41 to 59. What does it say that, Brother McCartney? Take your time. We got plenty of time. Come on.
Okay, the book of 1 Maccabees, chapter 1, reading verses 41 down to 59. You say 59 or 49?
Well, just read down. We'll get a little bit. Well, my thought, we might back it out a little bit and let the OL get a little shot in that. Let's see how you come out the gate in 141. 141, it's start reading, because the point in here is going to tie in what we trying to deal with this code word matter of national survival. Very important. Let's see, can we find out what they want to really happen in 141. Let's read a little bit. Come on.
Okay, the book of 1 Maccabees, chapter 1, beginning at verse 41. 41 reads, moreover, King Antiochus wrote to his whole kingdom that all should be one people. Verse 42, and everyone should leave all the heathen agreed according to the commandment of the king. Verse 43, yet many also of the Israelites consented to his religion and sacrifice unto idols, and profane the Sabbath. Verse 44, for the king has sent letters by messengers unto Yada, polluted word, Jerusalem, and the cities of Yada, polluted word, Judah, that they should follow the strange laws of the land, bid burnt offerings and sacrifice, and drink offerings in the temple, and that they should profane the Sabbath and festivals day. Verse 46, and pollute the temple and righteous people. Verse 47, set up altars and groves and chapels of idols and sacrifice swine flesh and unclean beasts. Verse 48, that they should also leave their children uncircumcised and make their so their body abominable with all manner of uncleanness and profanation. Verse 49. To the end they might forget the law, Torah instructions, and change all the orders, the Torah instructions. Verse 6. And whosoever would not do according to the commandment of the king, he said, he should die. Verse 51. In the self same manner wrote he to his whole kingdom, all the people, commanding the cities of Judah, polluted word, for Yada, to sacrifice city by city. Verse 52. Then many of the people were gathered unto them to wait, everyone that forsook the law, and so they committed evils in the land. Verse 53, and drove the Israelites into secret places, even whosoever they could flee for succor. Verse 54, now the 15th day of the month of Casluth, in the in the 145th year, they set up the abomination of desolations upon the altar and built idols, altars throughout the cities of Judah, polluted words for Yada on every side. Verse 55, and burnt incense at the doors of their house and in the streets. Verse 56, and when they had rent in pieces the books of the law, the Torah instructions, which they found, they burnt them with fire. 57, and wheresoever was found with any the book of the covenant, test polluted word testing, or if any consented to the law, the Torah instructions, the king's commandment was that they should put him or her to death. Verse 58, thus did they by their authority unto the Israelites, southern kingdom, Judah, polluted word for Yada, every month, to as many as were found in the city. Verse 59, now the 25th day of the month, they did sacrifice upon the idol altar, which was upon the altar of Yahweh. Verse 60, at which time, according to the commandment, they put to death certain women that had caused their children to be circumcised. Verse 61, and they hanged the infants about their necks and raffled their houses and slew that they had circumcised them. Verse 62.
That's good. That's pretty good. And so that's a history that has not been basically dealt with. Mm-hmm. And back up to 50, 51, 57 again now, Brother McKay, what is verse 51 and 57? What's that say again?
Okay, we're going to the first Maccabees, chapter 1, reading verse 51 and 57 again. Verse 51 reads.
And no, 50. Read 50 and 51 and 57.
Okay. Okay, reading 1 Maccabees chapter 1, 50, 51, and 57. 53. Whosoever would not do according to the commandment of the king, he said, he should die. Verse 51. In the self-same manner wrote he to his whole kingdom and appointed overseers over all the people, commanding the city of Judah, polluted word for Yada, to sacrifice city by city. Verse 57, and whosoever was found with any the book of the testament, polluted word for covenant, or if any consented to the law, polluted word for the Torah instructions, first five books of the Bible, the king's commandment was that they should put him or her to death.
So you see, if you was even calling yourself Judah, polluted for Jew, if you was calling yourself Israelite, polluted for Jews, if you done anything that would identify you with being the people of the book, it was to put you to death. And we read that many of the Israelites consented with this, with the law of the kings of the land that taken over. Have you noticed today that you do not hear in any Christian, Islamic, Judaism congregation is anything about the Israelites as a people? What you've done with this word now, you have erased that word and come up with a word called Jew and Jewish. So this is a point we're making. This is a big job, but we got to get past the parakeet and be able to soundly paint the picture. Now, give me, and matter of fact, hey, Yoda, give me that, Esther chapter 3, verse 8 and 10, 8, 9 and 10 now, Elder Mr. Tibbs. But I want to come back to this verse of in Thomas chapter 3. Brother Micaiah, I need Thomas chapter 3 one more time. Because it's very important to understand something, that the propaganda that has been put on you is a conversation that you won't have to correct it when you hear it, because they will pound these words in you to start a time for another generation. But the buck got to stop once we can soundly take care of his business and understand that this word Jew, what it really means, is not describing none of the people of the book. It's polluted for Judah and even polluted for Israelites. We got to be able to solve a bit to deal with this. So now, Yahweh looked Thomas eyeball to eyeball and told him something. And what did he say to Thomas in verse 3 in the book of Thomas? Come on.
In the book of Thomas, verse 3 reads, Yahweh the Son said, if those who lead you say to you, see, the kingdom is in the sky, then the birds of the sky will proceed to. If they say to you, it is in the sea, then the fish will proceed to. Rather, the kingdom is inside of you, and it is outside of you. When you come to know yourself, then you will become known, and you will realize that it is you who are the sons of the living Father. But if you will not know yourself, you dwell in poverty, and it is you who are that poverty.
You see that? So if you don't know yourself, because in this Bible, it is no blessing, Christian. It's no blessing for Islamic or Judaism. Do you know when you read this Bible, it's no blessing? That's why they'll even, they got it where the most all of the Christian churches, they use either the little handbooks they got in the box, the sermons in the box, and the New King James book or the NIV book. They do, when you really go and sit down and look at them, you will see where they just need to be closed over, but the right spiritual closing of Yahweh. So, you know, this is a big job. That's why we don't have time to, but I need to come back to a verse that was written there. One more time there, Brother Micaiah. You read in the book of Maccabees that they burnt the books. That's the verse that I was trying to write as fast as I can. But they burnt your books, see, right? So, see, and when they burnt your books, so now you understand what Ezra was doing in the Apocrypha called the taking out stolen books that was removed. So now you understand when he asked the question, and Yahweh said, look, I'm going to get you, he said, now, I see you ready. You ready to take care of this business, Ezra. But what I need to do, I got to get about 5 men to keep up with you. I got to get about 5 men to keep up with you, and you're going to do something. And so now you understand that the books was burnt. See? The books was burnt, see, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why would the books be burnt? What you don't want the people to know that's in the books? And that's the reason Ezra had to, he said, tell you what, he said, I'll do it. He said, I'll get back at it. We'll take a little bit later in the lesson. But understand something. Why will the information be burnt? Why would you want the information to be burnt? Why? If you all good, why would you want, read that verse again, and we'll put that verse on the table and leave it there for a minute. back. Look at it real carefully. It's somewhere in that late 40s. Mm-hmm. I want the verse where it says they taken your books and burnt them. That's that's the verse. Take your time there, Brother Micaiah. That's the verse I want. I want to make a note of that. We're going to come back and grab that a little bit later. Why would they want to? Why would you want to burn the books? Huh? What is? Why would you want to burn the books? That's the question. We'll find out a little bit later. Come on, you're on the clock. Come on.
The book of First Maccabees, chapter 1, picking up at verse 56. Verse 56 reads, "And when they had rent in pieces the books of the Torah instruction, which they found, they burnt them with fire."
You see that? Now you go to the average Christian church, and I did it. And they'll tell you that Old Testament is done away with. So they got the mind of not knowing this history, that this book was burnt from you. And that's the reason Ezra had to write them 200 some odd books. Because in Ezra's days, the books was burnt. See, Roy, they burnt up the books. That's very important. But we're not going to harp on that. So if you don't have... It's just like you looking for your receipt to take something back, and somebody take back, you know, it did with in the slavery days. Hey, master, I'm free. He said, yeah, you free? What you mean by you being free? You see, I got my papers. He said, let me see your papers. You free. He taking his papers and ripped them up every time they say. Told him, man. He tore his papers up, the one that showed their papers. You free? Where is your proof at? See that? See that, see, right? So then you might have to go do it all over again because you let master see your paperwork and he ripped them papers up. Say, yeah. Now prove that you're free or somebody else stop you. Hmm? So now you pat in your pockets, you got no papers that you're free. So now you know what happened. Same thing, you get duped again. You get duped. You get duped all over the place. So now we're going to go on and find our elder, and we're going to take a look at something that's written in Esther book, the regular book, chapter 3, 8 down to verse 10. Let's see what we can get, what we can read. Elder Mr. Tills, Esther, chapter 3, 8, 9, and 10. Come on. Elder Mr. Tills. We're saying WCC. Still, we gonna mute the elder. Already? Young Lionel, let's see if we can grab that after chapter 3, verse 8, 9, and 10. Let's see what you say there. Esther,
okay.
Chapter 3, verse 8, 9, and 10. Let's see what it says.
The book of Esther. Read the verses 8 through 10.
Mm-hmm.
Reading the way it is. Verse 8 reads. And Haman said unto the king Ahasuerus, there is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of your kingdom. And their laws are diverse from all people. Neither keep they the king's laws. Therefore, it is not for the king's prophets to suffer them. Verse 9. If it please the king, let it be written that they may be destroyed. And I will pay 10,000 talents of silver to the hands of those that have the charge of the business to bring it into the king's treasury. Verse 10. And the king took his ring from his hand and gave it unto Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the Jews' enemy.
Mm-hmm. So you say it's a people that's scattered in your 127 provinces is a people that's scattered in there. He's an Israelite king. We cannot go forward. Long as they are around and knowing who they are, we can't go forward. He said, but these people is not fit to live. I'm gonna tell you point blank. Because everything that we got on the table, they don't apply to nothing that we got on the table. Nothing. Everything we got on the table, we got wearing skinny jeans and vests. They want to wear garments and fringes. See that? And we got Easter coming up, and they want to do some Passover. See? And they want to say that if we do make it to the kingdom, all we going to be is their servants. Now, isn't that dividing the peoples? See? So these peoples is not fit to live. So that's why I take my own money and put it in there and to start off, like the pastors do, they'll go grab their $100. I'm going to start off the big donation. I'm going to take my own $100 and put it into the box. I mean, to the big sack, what they call it. I'm going to put my $100 in there. So if I put $100 in there, you know what y'all going to put in there. So they always have a propaganda for us, and we still won't see through it. But you got a ministry that's going to show you soundly that all that you have been taught, you won't have to. Second Ezra 14:34. You got to be a Second Ezra 14:34. This is it. So let me tell you something. If you don't become a Second Ezra 14:34, we're just gonna sit and watch you. What does it say in Second Ezra 14:34?
The book of Second Ezra, chapter 14, verse 34. 34 reads, therefore, if so be that you will subdue your own understanding and reform your mind, you should be kept alive. And after death, you shall obtain mercy.
Mm-hmm. But we just read it was a certain people that were scattered abroad. See, so to know what they're talking about, you have to precept your Bible. We read that it was a certain people that scattered abroad. And everything that you got written, King, that you know that I'm all 100% with, they don't apply to none of that. They want to wear fringes with garments on it. They want to keep feast days. And we got all this thing set up, that, you know, so they're not fit to live. Let's find out who these people that scattered that we can read. See, the point I'm saying, 690 Camps, you don't have to know how to paint the picture. Not being a parakeet on this right here. Because it's going to come up. Big time. So the key word is certain people that were scattered. So let's find out that what we can read that was scattered, that we can read. Let's go to James 1:1. Let's even find out who was in. Remember, it was certain people, they not fit to live. But it's the people that have been scattered among the 127 prophets. James 1:1 says what?
The book of James, chapter 1, verse 1. Verse 1 reads, James, a servant of Yahuwah the Father and of Yahuwah the Son, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greet.
Now, greet means Yahuwah be with you. That's what that word greetings means. Because that's another word they popped in for Yahuwah be with you. What do you mean, Latter-day Saints? That mean what it says, greetings. No, it didn't speak like that. All right. Let me show you they didn't speak like that. Let's run back to the book of Ruth. That ain't the way the children of Israel spoke. That word greetings is a word that came with, I just say, the 17 nations. They did not speak like that. So we go on the roof, and let's see exactly how they spoke when it's time to meet We'll just show you after we find the book of Ruth. You see now where the Ruth at. So one thing about it, we will receive, but we have no problem because just as it come up on, it's gonna come up on you. And you might be able to go in the book and just take care of it. It says greetings. Or they might say a word called amen. See? And you hear them say amen. But they didn't talk like that. See, they didn't talk like no amen or greetings. The way they talk, we getting ready to read in Ruth. Matter of fact, what book is Ruth close to there, Brother Micaiah?
Chapter Judges.
After Judges? Thank you, Al.
Huh?
Thank you. Right after Judges.
What?
Okay, I'm going to take a peek right after Judges, and I want to see, did the children of Israel meet and greet like that? We're going to find out. We're going to Ruth chapter 2, verse 4. We're going to find out, did they meet and greet like that? According to the Bible. See, when you see the word amen and greetings, you take notes on it. And then you put down what was said there, because if you pronounce, don't be a parakeet and pronounce something on something and you can't find no verses. This is what I'm talking about. Don't be a parakeet. How they spoke. We're getting ready to read in 2 verse 4. What it say in 2 verse 4? And I'm going to meet you over in the book of Psalms and get a precept on it. How they spoke when they met one another that was Israelite descent. What did they say that we can read? Come on.
The book of Ruth, chapter 2, verse 4. 4 reads, and behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reaper, Yahweh be with you. And they answered him, Yahweh bless you.
You see that? You see what they say? You see how they talk? Yahweh be with you. And you say, Yahweh, you don't say the same thing I say. You know, it's one of these six anointed camps got that same thing. You can't say, if I say one, then you say the other. Whatever one you say the opposite of it. If I say, Yahweh be with you, you say, Yahweh bless you. If I say, Yahweh bless you, Yahweh be with you. Huh? You got to, he listen to him. He go with written word. Ruth 2 verse 4, one more time. Listen to what's said.
Okay, the book of Ruth, chapter 2, verse 4. Verse 4 reads, and behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reaper, Yahweh be with you. And they answered him, Yahweh bless you.
You see that? Now, but David was told, we're not reading 2 Samuel 23, 1, 2, and 3. David was told, he said, now, David, do you know how we meet and greet one another? I got to pull a rabbit out of here. In the book of Luke, chapter 1, I'm coming back into the 129th chapter, verse 8. Of Psalms, make a note of that. But I want to come back to, now remember, in Matthew 12, 31, 32, 36, 37, if you blaspheme against the righteous spirit, you ain't got nothing coming in this world or the world to come. Keep that in your mind. Now, let's see what happened here in Luke chapter 1. What happened in verse 26 and verse 28? Luke chapter 1, verse 26 and 28. Listen at the painting of the picture of what's going on. Luke chapter 1, verse 26 and 28. Brother Micaiah, come on.
The book of Luke chapter 1, verse 26 and verse 28. Verse 26 reads, and in the sixth month, the ministering spirit Gabriel was sent from Yahweh into a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Verse 28, and the ministering spirit came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, Yahweh is with you. Blessed are you among women.
What did he say?
He says, verse 28, Luke chapter 1, verse 28. Verse 28 reads, and the ministering spirit came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, Yahweh is with you. Blessed are you among women.
See that? He said, Yahweh be with you. See that? So you see, that's how they address one another. Yahweh be with you. She was so astonished. He done all the talking. She didn't open her mouth until we were not getting off into it. She didn't open her mouth behind the astonishment she was going through until verse 34. But that's not the storyline. But how did he address her? Yahweh be with you. And you know what she got to say when he get through talking? Yahweh bless you. T-S-A-R-A-M. So that greeting and amen, you go in a Christian church, amen. Listen, we know all that is polluted for Yahweh be with you and Yahweh bless you. But the ministering spirit said something to David. He said, David, now you know how we meet and greet one another, right? He said, yeah, I know. He said, but you know what's going to happen in the 129 verse 8? He said, David, I know you're not going to believe this, but let me tell you what's going to happen in 129 verse number 8. Let me tell you what's going to happen up the road, and now you hear on the telephone call. Hello, how are you? Goodbye. Hello. Goodbye. He says, this is what's going to happen, David. In 129, give me a name in verse 1. Then skip down to verse 8. I need a name. 129, verse 1 and verse 8. What does it say there, Brother Micaiah?
The book of Psalms, chapter 129, reading verse 1 and verse 8. Verse 1 reads, many a time have they afflicted me from my youth. May Israel now say, verse 8, neither do they which go by say, the blessing of Yahweh be upon you. We bless you in the name of Yahweh.
Ain't that something? You say, I'm coming time, you ain't going to say that no more. No, you right now, you don't even do it. But we're going to bless you in the name of Yahweh. Yahweh be with you. Yahweh bless you. He said, David, it's going to come a time that this won't not be said no more. Guess what? You say it right now. Go to any Christian establishment. You go ask your Christian pastor or whatever. Yahweh be with you. Did you cuss me out? Are you cussing me? No. I said, Yahweh be with you. What's that supposed to mean? That don't mean you supposed to say, Yahweh bless me. See that? He said, the prophet says, this was going to be on the table and would never be said again. That's on the table right now. Okay? Now, we're going to go a little further. Now, I need for you to read exactly the way it is there, Brother Micaiah, because we're only just showing you just what we got to do. And when we see the word called greetings and amen, you got the scripture showing you that's Yahweh be with you. And your return answer is Yahweh bless you. That's how you're supposed to talk. Then Yahweh said, I guess they on something. Let's go to the book of Romans chapter 1. Verse 16. Read the way you see it, there, Brother Micaiah, because I'm hopping on this point because I'm trying to lay some foundation down. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. This is what he says here.
Okay. The book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 16. Verse 16 reads, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Yahuwah the Son, for it is the power of Yahuwah the Father unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek."
You see? To the Jew first and also to the Greeks. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It means the covenant. To the Jew first and also to now. That word right there will just handcuff the world. Because they'll take you all kind of spins on that, to the Jew first and also to the Greeks. Now we're going to Colossians chapter 3, verse 10 through 12. Now remember, to the Jew first, also to the Greeks. Good. But hey, you know, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, then what happened to the rest of the nations? What happened to everybody? To the Jew and to the Greek. So what happened to all everybody else? That's the right. That's the point I'm making. So right there, that's enough to work with right there, but we're going a little further. We're going to Colossians chapter 3, 10 down to verse 12.
The book of Colossians, reading chapter 3, verses 10 down to 12. Verse 10 reads, "And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of him that created him." Verse 11, "Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Yahuwah the Son is all in all."
Mm-hmm. So you say you neither barbarian or Scythian. So you see, yes. So you say barbarians or Scythians. You see, you all won. In Yahuwah the Son. They got the word called Jesus Christ there. You all won. They're saying Jesus Christ. See? We all won in Jesus Christ. Now we go on to 2 Ezra 6 and pick up verse 1. Now keep that in your mind. Now the key word we put down, you got to put down this barbarian and Scythians. You see, you neither barbarians or Scythians. You know what a barbarian is? A barbarian is a person just flat out just lost. And a Scythian, you neither Scythian, you're now one of them. You need a Jew, Greek, barbarian, or Scythians. Now we're going to 2 Ezra chapter 6 and pick up in verse 1. And listen to this in verse 1. Listen real good and verse number 1. You need a barbarian, Scythian, Jew, nor Greek. You are one in Jesus Christ. Pluted for Yahuwah. Got it? Good. Now, we go on to second book of Ezra, chapter 6, and pick up verse 1. Listen to this real good.
The book of 2 Ezra, chapter 6, verse 1. Verse 1 reads, "And he said unto me, in the beginning, when the earth was made, before the borders of the world stood, or ever the wind blow."
Hold on that, Brother Micaiah. You in second Ezra 6:1.
Second Ezra, chapter 6, verse 1. Yes, sir.
Okay, wait a minute. I might need me some second Maccabees 6:1. Let me take a little peek now. I might need second book of Maccabees. I'm looking for something. So maybe let me see. Let me take a little peek now, because I'm going somewhere. I'm trying to kid glove it. I'm going to
pull out something. Devil will say, let me find me some, let me find, I got to find some. Second Maccabees 6. Let me see what I'm looking for. Second Maccabees 6. Let me see what I find. An old man coming from somewhere. So I got to first find it first. Second Maccabees. Let me find Second Maccabees, okay? I got Second Maccabees. I'm looking for the 6th chapter, verse number 1. Let me see what I got here. 6, verse 1. Yeah, okay. Thank you there, Kaya. You're right. Second Maccabees, make that 6-1. So the Ezra, make that Second Maccabees 6-1. Thank you there, Brother Micaiah. 6-1, and we're gonna find out something on the way of finding out something. And it's going to kick us into a big organization of the Israelite camp saying, see, you know, the Passover is so close now. Would you touch on the Passover? We're going to touch on a little bit of everything, but we're just going to take our time and get at it. We're going to touch on that. We're going to touch on this, too. We're going to take care of the WCC and the Latter-day Saints and the Catholics and the Christians all, you know, all in this one little brush. But we want to lay a little foundation. Second Maccabees 6, verse 1. Now let's read a little bit, and let's see what happens. Come on.
The book of Second Maccabees, chapter 6, verse 1. Verse 1 reads, not long after this, the king sent an old man of Athens to compel the Jews to depart from the law, the Torah instruction of their father, and not to live after the law, polluted word for the Torah instructions of Yahuwah. Verse 2, and to pollute also the temple of Jerusalem, polluted word for Yada. If you call it the temple of Jupiter, Olympus, and that in Garzim of Jupiter, the defender of strangers, as they did desire that dwell in the place. Verse 3, the coming in of this mystery was sore and grievous to the people. Verse 4, for the temple was filled with riot and ravaging by the Gentiles, who dealt with harlots and had to do with women within the circuit of the righteous place.
Hold that point. Just for time's sake there, Brother Micaiah. They said change the temple name and call it what again? I mean, I can't get away. I'm sure this thing right here.
Right.
Right. you got a compundus worth of evidence. It's more than a over meal mess around with these other nations with your book in their hand. I mean, it's just wide open to just deal with this thing. Back up to what we read that verse again. I was gonna show you that this thing over here, this is some deep stuff. That's what I'm saying. We have to be able to deal with this. This is some deep stuff here. Back up to what they say about the temple again.
Okay. The book of Second Maccabees, chapter 6, picking up at verse 2. Verse 2 reads. Verse 1 and 2. Verse 1 reads.
Verse 2. Let's read two.
Just two? Okay, two. And to pollute also the temple in Jerusalem, polluted word for Yada, and to call it the temple of Jupiter, Olympus, and that in Garzim of Jupiter, the defender of strangers, as they did desire that dwell in the place.
Mm-hmm. So now, let's hold it for a minute. Let's run to and show you This thing right here is deep. We're going to Acts chapter 14 and look at verse number 1.
And just read where you see it, because you'll get the same name. We're going to take you all that. We'll take you everything.
Mm-hmm.
14 verse 1 and 2. 14 verse 1 and 2.
Okay, going to book it back. In chapter 14, reading verses 1 and verse 2. Verse 1 reads, and it came to pass in...
Iconium. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the temple of Yada, polluted word Jew, and to speak in so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. Unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil, affected against the brother.
Okay, good. And skip down to verse number 12 and 13.
Okay, the book of Acts, chapter 14, reading verse 12 and 14. Verse 12 reads, and they called Barnabas, Jupiter, and Paul, Mercury, because he was the chief speaker. Verse 13. Then the priest, priest of which was before their city, bought oxen and grave lands unto the gate, and would have done sacrifice with the people.
You see that? So when you see when you get off into these paganism, when you get off into this paganism, this thing will just continue to run. Now, we read about when it got the name at way back in 2 Maccabees, and now way over here in Iconium, that you had a temple where Yada Judah was there, and also, you know, that was there. And you see how far they are now? They call Barnabas Jupiter. So all it done was a parakeet, a word that came when, you know, messing up the name. So there or there. And then we can go further in the 18, 19 chapter and show you where Ephesians of Diana. All these are the same things, see, right here. So this paganism, this misteaching is big. And that's why it's going to take a ministry that must be led by Yahweh to straighten out those that got to be straightened out. But see, now that takes it to a point that those got to be straightened out. We'll take care of that shortly. But let's go back. The those got to be straightened up. Hold me to that point right there. Those got to be straightened out. Now come on back to the book of Maccabees, and let's find out. We find out in the book of Maccabees, see now you'll remove the name of the temple, and now you'll call it Jupiter. Now you see this thing went way past the it went way past the coming of Yahweh the Son, after he on the right-hand side of Yahweh the Father, and they still use, and they still in that paganism. Even he wasn't able to get to the root of it, and he the one created heaven and earth. The Jupiter and Diana of Ephesians and all these Apollos and all that kind of stuff, Yahweh the Son was in heaven. The 3 years he started his ministry, he wasn't even get with all this paganism on the table. So he knew it was a ministry going to come way up the road. They're going to, even the score in a ministry called Voices of the True Israelite. So you see, Jupiter is after he's sitting on the right-hand side, so it's still him. Apollos, you got all kind of, you said a place back in the 70s and 80s called Apollos, where all of, you know, the color folks, they went to Apollos. You see, this name here, this is some, see, that's why I going to take the right, hold up on, let me precept that. Run to Ezekiel 37, 1, 2, 3, 4. See, I got to precept that. See, that's what I'm saying. I'm watching you six anointed caps. Understand one thing. You just can't parakeet. You got to be clear on how to make this plain. Because it's written, Yahweh faced Ezekiel eyeball to eyeball through the mental spirit and took him on a journey and asked a question in 37, 1, 2, 3, 4. What do you say in 37, 1, 2, 3, 4? Listen to this.
The book of Ezekiel, chapter 37, verses 1 through 4. Verse 1 reads, the hand of Yahweh was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of Yahweh and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. Verse 2, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. Verse 3, and he said unto me, son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Yahweh, you know. Verse 4, again, he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O you dry bones, hear the word of Yahweh.
Ain't that something? You see, so you see, the only way back, these dry bones of the 12 tribes, the only way back, you got to hear the words of Yahweh. That's it. That's why it's so important to understand about the land, school, banquet hall, and the radio station. You need to hear the word of Yahweh. See, Roy, this is your only way back. The propaganda have destroyed you as a people. And this is the last ministry on the clock to show you soundly where you've been destroyed at. You've been destroyed because you have walked away willingly and left your name for a cursed name. And he can't recognize you with them skinny jeans on and them vests on and them ties. No? Draw your neck. He recognized you through the fringes, and understand how you meet and greet your brother. Yahweh be with you. Return, and Yahweh bless you. See? Then Yahweh, then you get the son's attention. He gives the father an elbow. Did you hear that? I heard that. But we got to remember we read in 2 Ezra 14:34. Until we reform our own minds, all that stuff that you won't got from the system of the world, you will have to dismantle it to help your peoples. Because you got everything that's wrong. And you're not able to step to the plate because the majority of the six anointed cats, they just parakeet things, majority of them. They just parakeet. They can't. Actually, we can see through your parakeeting. Or when you were able to see, paint a picture properly. We know. You know, but we doing the part he give us to do to get you out of, I know when you're ready. I can tell by the tone of your conversation. I can tell when you're on something. And I can tell when you're not on something. I can tell when you're parakeeting. When you got questions that just don't make no sense. That you're supposed to have answers with a breeze, that we can take it to the next level. But we're going back to the book. We're going to, because he asked the question, can these bones live? He said, Yahweh only you know. What you mean, Latter-day Saints, these bones is, you don't know where the bones is? Okay, we'll show you where the bones is. The bones is not talking about the world. We're going to Ezekiel 37. So 12 apostles of the Latter-day Saints. Okay. You want to know who the bones is? I tell you what, we're going to read who the bones is in 37th chapter. Let's see what name you come out. Let's see what it says these bones is of the Latter-day Saints. We're going to find out right now. Verse number 11. Let's find who these bones is that we can read. Verse number 11. 37:11.
Book of Ezekiel, chapter 37, verse 11. Verse 11 reads, "Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole family of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dry, and our hope is lost."
You see what they say? We say that our hope is lost. That's what we say. The key word is a precept word. We say our hope is lost. What that supposed to mean? See this? Today I go right there. See right here. We say, you know, who is the we? You talking about the whole family of nation of Israel? Said we, our hope is lost. See? Now you precept your Bible. Then you find out more about it. The seal of deal. Let's go to 15:34 of Matthew. We go on and precept the Bible. Remember, the key word is we say our hope is lost. The key word, the precept word, is lost. 15:24 of Matthew is bringing it.
The book of Matthew, chapter 15, verse 24. Verse 24 reads, "But he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the family of Israel."
You see that? So you see that? So who were these dry bones in the valley? The lost sheep of the family of Israel, the nation of Israel. That's the one that's lost. 18 verse 11. Then he's going to tell you plainly, since you know who lost, then listen to, he's still talking in a continuation in 18 verse 11. Listen to this continuation conversation in Matthew 18, 11.
The book of Matthew, chapter 18, verse 11. Verse 11 reads, "For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost."
See that? To save those who was lost, we just found out who lost. The whole nation of Israel. And he come to save them that is lost. See, right? He didn't come to save the whole world. That's Christianity, Islamic, and Judaism. He just, you heard him, his mouth said, then you don't just stop with that. Go to 121. Precept and some more. Matthew 121. Listen good.
Book of Matthew, on chapter 1. Picking up at verse 21. Verse 21 reads, "And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Yahweh the Son, for he shall save his people from their sins."
His people that is lost. He's going to save his people, the one that's lost. So he come and save his people. See, right? Because they lost. See, Christianity, Islam, and Judaism got him coming to save all the world. Why don't you believe anything he's saying? He's coming to save the peoples that is lost. Remember, you got Christian to say, how long have you been saved? Well, you know, I've been saved for the last 40 years. Wait a minute. You saved. Listen, you're not saved until you're not lost. When you save, that means you ain't paying no water bill, gas bill, or light bill, or no bills. The bills are paying you when you save. And what you got to be saved with, according to the precept, you got to be saved from Luke 1:67. Let's read a little bit. So now you got people in Christianity say, I've been saved for 30, 50 years. You've been saved. Yeah? Chapter 1, verse 6 to 7, let's read a little bit on that point you just saying you saved.
The book of Luke, chapter 1, verse 67. Verse 67 reads, "And his father, Zacharias, was filled with the righteous spirit and prophesied, saying," verse 68, "Blessed
be God." Wait, hold on. Hold on, man. What is he doing? He's prophesying, see, right? He's prophesying. Zechariah was the man of that hour. He is prophesizing. He's prophesizing about something. It's not nothing in the past. He's getting ready to prophesy. Let's see what he says in verse number 7. What did he say in verse 7?
Okay, the reading the book of Luke. Chapter 1, verse 70.
No, make it 68. No, make it 68. You're right. You're right, make it 68. Okay. I want to jump. I want to walk through it in smooth sailing. Verse 68. What did it say? Remember, he's prophesizing now. He's prophesizing. A prophesizing is something to come. Something is already written that he's trying to fulfill it. He's prophesizing about something. This is what he says in 68. Let's read a little bit. Come on.
Okay. The book of Luke, chapter 1, verse 68 reads, blessed be Yahuwah, Yahuwah of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. Verse 69, and had raised up a horn of salvation for us in the temple of his servant David. Verse 70, as he spake by the mouth of his righteous seer, which had been since the world began.
Uh-huh.
Verse 71, that we should be from our enemies. And from
wait a minute.
Man.
Wait a minute. He was prophesying that we be saved from our enemies. That was the prophecy of it. He said he come to save them that's lost. Now Zechariah is prophesying that we, the children of Israel, the dry bones, will be saved by my enemies. So you sure you saved, Mr. Christian? You sure you saved? You've been saved how many years? No. You got the story wrong. You got to be saved from your enemies. Your enemy is the one that got you paying all these, what you're doing now. So remember, you had your own. So I've been saved. You've been saved from your enemy already. So that's what you want to be saved from is your enemy. See, Roy, did you see, you know, you ask any Christian, Islamic, Judaism, how long you been saved? Well, I've been saved for many years. Many years I've been saved. Oh, you been saved from your enemy already? I'll tell you what. You think so? Let's, I'm going to take you around Beverly Hills, and I'm going to let you stand out there for a few minutes. Let's see. Let's see how saved you will be when they spot that you out there in our neighborhood. And they say, oh, I'm taking you down to parts of South Carolina, which the former president was over in South Carolina and made that cold statement. That what was that memo at again? He made a cold statement. He was speaking in codes to those that got ear to hear. See, that's how Yahweh, he spoke in parables. But he was speaking in codes to you. That what did he say, young lion? He made a final statement. He was speaking in codes. He said, then what he says. It's a matter of life, survival. I don't want to quote him wrong. I'm looking for the memo. He said in South Carolina, this race critical. What was that memo at? I forgot the memo. That's what I'm saying. You know, don't see it. You know, he made a profound statement, but they understood what he was saying. But he was talking right over everybody else's head. He said, in the school system, the teachers got to stop apologizing for them. They got to stop for what happened in the past they got to stop that. They got to take that out of the school system. We got to move forward. You know, he was telling us, but it's for our survival. See, you know, when we be talking, I wonder who wrote down what I was saying, besides the big dignitary. I know they wrote down what I said. Matter of fact, they the one gave me this. They gave me and told me to come back and explain that. The matter the matter of national survival. It's a matter of national survival. This what? This critical race theory. Take it from school and stop teaching on race, critical race theories from school. It is a matter of national survival. That was big code words what he was saying, see, right? He's saying, you know, we gotta remember the same thing that Haman said. There's a malicious peoples out there called children of Israel, and they got everything contrary, and if they continue with this thing, it's a matter of national survival. There's a speech he said in South Carolina, March 13, 2022. So you need to investigate on that, because that's some key cold words he put in there. Because he's trying to, well, get them all reared up to understand one thing. If that ministry continue to talk the way they talk and keep organizing, and that's why they got excited. They said, okay, you're organizing, you're good. Well, I tell you what we'll do. We'll see what we can do. And when we all know really what they already did, so we need to go over that. So we need to go over that no more. But that's been said, time to move on. Now, where we at so far? Where we on now? What was your last day you just got to read?
Just got done reading the book of Luke, chapter 1, verse 71, save from our enemy.
Right, save from our enemy. See, that's what we got to be saved from. So, you know, when you go ask, oh, father-in-law, hey, how long you been saved? Well, son-in-law, I've been saved for the last 40-some years. You saved from your enemies, huh? You think so? Then let me see these bills coming in and see you. No, you're not saved. You're not saved until you're saved from your enemies. Your enemies is the other nations that are hook-wink you to think you Hebrew Israelite, stuff like that. Bible don't support that. Hebrew Israelite, Bible don't support none of that. Christians, African-American, Negro, Bible don't support none of that. As long as you in that, he can't help you until you understand how to come back to the bond of the covenant. Let's precept that to 5:29-32. Of Acts. Let's get one more in on that, because remember, to save you from your enemies. Again, Peter's going to tell you why he came. Peter is the chief speaker for the nation of Israel. Peter's going to tell you something. Do you believe Peter? Let's see what he says in 5:29-31. Maybe possibly 32 if it sounds real good. Let's look at Acts chapter 5:29-31, what did it say?
The book of Acts, chapter 5, verses 29 down to 31. Verse 29 reads, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we are to obey Yahweh rather than man. Verse 30, Yahweh of our fathers raised up Yahweh the Son, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Verse 31, him have Yahweh exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgive our sins.
Yeah. The Father raised him up for what reason again? Let's see. The Father raised him from the dead. Let's find out again, why did the Father raise him up from the dead? Abraham, on the right side of the book. What was the reason the Father raised his son up from the dead? For what reason?
Okay. The book of Acts, chapter 5, verse 31. Verse 31 reads. Verse 30 and 31. 31 reads. 30 reads. And Yahweh of our fathers raised up Yahweh the son, who you slew and hanged on a tree. Verse 31. Him hath Yahweh exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgive and forgiveness of sin.
That's it. See how plain that is? He was raised up by the Father to be a prince and a savior, or to give repentance to Israel. Now, who will read this? Who will read this? To give repentance to Israel. So all one that have this in their back pocket is Israel, because he was raised up to give repentance and forgiveness of sin. This is the guy that was raised up to do these things, see, right? He the one forgive your sin. But you got to stop sinning against him. Now, is there any witness to this? Verse 32.
Okay, the book of Acts, chapter 5, verse 32. 32 reads, and we are his witness of these things, and so is also the righteous spirit that obey him.
And you're not going to get this spirit until you obey him. So don't think you're going to be able to ask questions about anything until you obey him. We can give you all the answers, but Yahweh will move right from you. Until he recognized what he put on you, the dress code he put on you, the keeping of the Torah instruction, the keeping what he got written on his pocket, you're just wasting your time. He said he gave repentance to Israel, the one and the righteous spirit is whom Yahweh have given to them that obey him. So you got to obey. The only way you can get this man to be to interact in your life, you got to obey him. If you don't obey him, you'll be part of the 3-6 that's not gonna make it. And when we get the 9 on his feet to go get the 12. See? You know, that got me broke down. But I want to go back to something. I want to go back to this again. We got plenty of time. I want to go back to this Colossians again one more time there. I want to go back to Colossians chapter 3. And I want to look at verse 11 one more time.
Okay.
Colossians chapter 3, verse 11.
Okay, going back to the book of Colossians, chapter 3, picking up at verse 11. Verse 11 reads, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian or Scythian, bond nor free, but Yahweh the Son is all, in and all.
Good. Now let's go to Colossians chapter 1. Now let's start breaking down who you're talking to. You say you neither Jew nor Greek. You neither barbarian or Scythians. You're not none of them. Put in another word called the Sumerians. You're not none of them. You're all one in Yahweh the Son. But right now he's saying you're all over the place. We're going to Colossians chapter 1 and see who we're talking to. But see, this is where all of the nations bogart in themselves, and they bogart themselves in, so we can't get them out. And all we got to do is go to Colossians chapter 1 and see who we're talking to. All you got to do is go to Colossians chapter 1 and see exactly who we're talking to while telling you ain't this and you ain't that. We're going to Colossians, start reading at 1:1. What it say in Colossians 1:1?
Okay.
Colossians 1:1. Just read like you see it. Then I can put the dramatics on it.
Okay.
1:1 and verse 2. Look at this right here.
Okay, the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Verse 1 reads, Paul, an apostle of Yahweh the Son, by the will of Yahweh the Father, and Timothy, our brother. Verse 2, to the saints and faithful brethren in Yahweh the Son, which are in Colossae, honor Mercy be unto you and peace from Yahuwah Father and Yahuwah the Son.
Book of Galatians, the book of Colossians, is to the saints. In Psalm chapter 50, it tells you the saints is the Israelites. In Psalm 148, verse 14, the saints is the Israelites. In Psalms 149, verse 1, the saints is the Israelites. He says to the Israelites and faithful brethren, which are at Colossus. Now you see that, see right? Now you see how easy that is? He talking to the brothers of Israelite descent that's over there in Colossus. So, but you let the world just hijack you and got this talking about every other nation, and it's talking about the brothers, the saints, which is the Israelites that's over there in Colossus. There's right there. 1:2. And look what he called them in 3:1 in Colossians. What did he call them in 3:1?
Book of Colossians.
What did he call them we can read?
The book of Colossians, chapter 3:1.
Now hold that part right there. Hold that part just for a minute.
Okay.
I got to find out what he called. Now go to Galatians 3:1. Same people. Go to Galatians 3:1. This is what he called the Colossians. He called the Galatians. All these same peoples. Paul's over there, and same thing. You go to the same book of Galatians and read it to the saints, to the congregation of the children of Israel that's in Galatia. So when you read anything over there in Galatia, it's the same thing too. Well, what you mean I got to prove that? A lot of these things? I got to prove that? Okay. So let's go to Galatians chapter 1. Let's prove that too. So see, this is a favorite stories they be working with. And all you gotta do is go to 1:2 and let's see what you say. Galatians chapter 1:2 and 4. Let's see what you say in Galatians chapter 1:2 and 4.
Okay. The book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 1:2 and 4. To read. And all the brethren which are with me unto the churches, polluted word, was for the churches of Galatia. 4. Who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from the present evil world, according to the will of Yahuwah and our Yahuwah the Father.
Mm-hmm. He said to all the brothers that which are with me unto the church polluted for the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that's at Galatia. So there it is again. Paul found another spot in Galatia that the children of Israel was there, and that's what he went to go see. That's over in Galatia. So again, he tell you this, and he tell you plainly in 4, who gave himself for our sin. And that's the same thing we read in Acts chapter 5.
Mm-hmm.
We for sin to Israel. See that? You see that? Who gave himself for our sin, that he might deliver us from this present world. Hold that part. Then you put your hand on that and you go back to Acts chapter 5. You go back to Acts chapter 5. Remember, our sins. That's what he said. You go back to Acts chapter 5 while it's hot and heavy. And you look at Acts chapter 5. And you look right down at 5. Pick up at verse number 31.
Acts 5:31, what it say?
The book of Acts, chapter 5, verse 31 reads, him hath Yahuwah, the Father, exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sin.
You see that? You see that? The sin for who? Israel. Israel's sin. Now, this right here was poor. This right here was poor. Where we say the book is no longer available, we're going to show you where that was pulled at in the book of Isaiah. Now, that was pulled in Isaiah 44. He pulled that verse, and we're going to show you where he pulled that verse at. And we're going to find out who did what. Isaiah 42, verse 25, down to verse 28. Let's see what he say. Isaiah 43, read 21, just make it sound good. Make it sound good. And verse 21, 22, just make it sound good. Then skip down to 25 to 28. We're going to make it sound good, Brother Micaiah. We're going to make it sound real good. Isaiah 43, verse 21 down to verse 23. Then skip down to 25 to 28. Listen to this. Take your time. Come on.
Okay, the book of Isaiah, chapter 43. Picking it up at verses 21 to 23 and 25 to 28. Verse 21 reads, Yahuwah is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify the Torah instructions and make it honorable.
Hold that point. Look at verse 21 real good. Isaiah 43, verse 21. Look at it real carefully. Verse 21.
Okay, 43, verse 21. Isaiah 43, verse 21 reads, this people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. Verse 22. For you has not called upon me, O Israel, but you has been weary of me, O Israel. Verse 23, you has not bought me the small cattle of your burnt offering, neither has you honored me with your sacrifices. I have not caused you to serve with an offering, nor wearied you with incense. Verse 25, I am he that blotted out your transgression for my own sake, and will not remember your sin. Verse 26, put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare you that you may be justified. Verse 28, your first father has sinned, and your teachers have transgressed against me. Verse 28, therefore I have profaned the princes of the temple and have given Israel to the curse and Israel to reproach.
He said he did it. The same one that came to redeem you, he said, I did it. I want you to be clear. He said, I did it. He said, I'm the one that did this to you. So the one that's talking saying, I'm the one that forgive your sins. I'm the one that put you up into captivity. So he's telling you that he said he did it. So the one that forgive your sin. He said, I'm the one that put you up into captivity. And I'm going to be the one that redeem you. See, he made it plain. See, a lot of people can't find. Well, that father, he's mean. Well, listen. Whoever this I am he, if the one said, I'm the one put you up into captivity. The same one that say, I am he. He said, I'm the one that forgives sins. Now go back again and find out in 5:31. We got plenty of time to deal with it. In 5:31, Peter tells you exactly who he's talking about. This guy have the ability to forgive sins. He told you in Isaiah, I am he that blotted out your sins. I'm the one
that put you in captivity. I'm the one going to get you out of captivity. And you refuse to precept your Bible to see who this guy is. And he says, I am he. That's what he just said. Now read 5:31 again of Acts.
The book of Acts. Book of Acts, chapter 5, verse 31. 31 read. Him have Yahweh exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins.
Who is the him that Yahweh? Him is Yahweh the Father. Him that Yahweh raised up the Son was Yahweh the Father. That was the him. Yahweh the Father raised up Yahweh the Son to give repentance to Israel, the one that come back to the covenant. He not come and say, only the that want to come up under the bond of the covenant. Can you get any plainer than that? St. John chapter 8. Let's see if you can get in a plainer than what he getting ready to say. Verse 1 and 9. St. John chapter 9, verse 1 and 9.
Okay, the book of St. John chapter 9, verse 1 and verse 9. Verse 1 reads, truly, truly, I say unto you, he that enter not by the door into the sheepfold, but climb up.
Hold on. St. John chapter 9, verse 1 and 9. St. John chapter 9, verse 1 and 9.
Yeah, everything St. John chapter 10. St. John chapter 9, verse 1 and 9. Verse 1 reads, and as Yahweh the Son passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 9. Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. But he said, I am he.
What did he say?
I am he.
You see, the man just told you, I am he. I'm the one that's talking to Isaiah. I'm the one that's talking to Moses. I'm the one that's going to blot out your sins. I'm the one. Why do you keep on putting the Father in place of me? The Father sent me. Because the Father in the 14th chapter, sooner or later we're going to be able to paint this picture. The only way you paint this picture, you got to believe this. The only way you believe, you got to be taught this. 14:28 of St. John. See, they had this Bible called the spell book and everything. You know why? Because you don't know how to precept your Bible. You got a lot of big Israelite camps can't precept, and they just call this Bible a spell Bible on the right side. You need the right side. Well, you can use all the book counts. You got to be in the right ministry to be able to paint the picture that it be so plain that even you catch it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what it says in what he said in 14. Verse number 28, St. John.
The book of St. John, chapter 14, verse 28 reads, you have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you loved me, you would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I.
You see that? So he never stepped. Yeah, he is a Yahweh. He's Yahweh the Son. They'll say, well, he ain't no God. Yeah, well, God is proof of Yahweh the Son. He's Yahweh the Son. But he always give the proper respect to the Father, because the Father's the one sent him. The Father sent him to take care of his business. So the Son is the one going to be the one blot out your sins, Israel. But you sin against him every day. Every time you don't have no fringes on, you sin against him. You know you're going to have fringes on. Every time you don't have no fringes on, you sin against it. Because that is your dress code for him to know who you are, the fringes. You don't leave home without no fringes. Not just on the Sabbath day, every day you have your fringes on. Because you got the protection of Yahuwah above your head. Let's see if we pause and bring our elder back in and see if he can tell you, bring this broadcast, give you a chance to stretch and get prepared for the last best run. So, elders of tales, you want to address this national audience on tape number 82. You on the clock. Come on. Elder Mr. Tibbs, you want to address this national audience? See her keep talking. We going to catch you in something. We going to keep him on mute. What do you mean you don't catch me on something? So now, we found out the one thing we're saying. Now, we're going to touch on a little Passover in a minute, but let's go back to this Colossians again. It said you need a Jew, Greek, you need a barbarian or Scythian. Now, that's who he was talking to. But we found out he was talking to them Israelites in Colossians and Galatians. So you were talking to them scattered Israelites. You're a barbarian when you're not keeping the covenant. But I want to use the word called Scythian. So to do that, Brother Micaiah, now let's go find out in the missing link covering of the ancient tablets, Assyrian tablets, the missing link discovery. So by Raymond Capp. So now you take your time and go back in your big bag, and we're going to see if we can find out who the Scythians is. Because he said you're not barbarians. See, you're not a barbarian once you come back to the covenant. He said you're not Scythians. You're telling the children of Israel, you're not none of that once you come back to the bond of the covenant. But the key word we're going to get is Scythians. So we go on and look at a book called The Missing Link by an Assyrian tablet called by E. Raymond Capp. We're going to find out who is the Scythians. Let's see if we find out. We just going to find out who the Scythians is. Who is you talking about the Scythians? And now this E. Raymond Capp, this is a historian for the 17 nations. So you know this ain't what's called the, the Negro book. So now we're going to see what he says on page 121. We want to find out who is the Scythians that we can read their, Brother Micaiah. Let's go to page 121. Then we're going to look at the last line where it says, as Midian stepped up their harassment of the border of, okay, right there. You see the last line on page 121?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
All right, let's do a little reading. Let's see what's going on. Let's get a little something in here. Let's find out who these Scythians is. See, we're going to find out about these Scythians. You see, you need a Greek, Jew, barbarian, or Scythians. Let's pick it up at the last line on page 121. What does it say?
Okay. Reading. Missing Link Discovered by E. Raymond Cat. Okay, on page 121, the last chapter, picking up at the last chapter.
As the meeting stepped it up.
Okay, last paragraph, page 121 reads, as the Medes stepped up their harassment of the border province of Assyria. As Hardon prospered an alliance with the Scythian King Vartatu, the Pontothite of Herodias the First, against the Medes in Sumeria.
Okay, good, good. That's good. But time said we're not going to wrestle with all that. We're just going to go to page 123. It's showing that the Scythians is a people he's talking about. And we're just going to go a little further at the time said. We take care of real good later on. Let's pick it up at page 123. And we're going to pick it up at where it says the scripture stated the northern 10 tribes. Let's see what it says. Let's see what we can read. It said the scripture stated on page 123 up top. What did it say?
Okay. Page 122 to 123. The scripture state the northern 10 tribe kingdom of Israel had been placed just a few years previously. We have noted that the name Jamir or Jamira and Gamira could easily be corruptions of Kumari or Kumari, the Assyrian names for the Israelites. The names Saka or Saka, Scythian, are probably derived from Isaac or House of Isaac. It is further noted.
Stop it there. So you see, this Scythian is talking about the House of Isaac and all these names. Remember, when you go into captivity, you're going to lose your name just like you over here in America. You call African-American Negro in color. Okay, good. So you don't think you're going to carry your name. That's why they couldn't find you because here go the name changing right here. Here go, you became the all these names on 21, but it's the same people's northern kingdom up under all these pagan names. Now, skip down where it says, it can now be truly said. What?
Okay, page 123. It can now be truly said. Archaeology has solved two great mysteries, both occurring at the same time in history. One, what happened to the countless thousands of Israelites that disappeared into Assyrian captivity? Two, where did the countless thousands of Scythians and Sumerians come from? Both mysteries no longer exist. The so-called lost tribes of Israel were really never lost. They only lost their identity during their captivity in Assyria.
Ain't that something? You see, they know this. Why your school system ain't gonna tell you? See, all the big dignitaries know that all these names, all the little hit names, you all the point towards is the children of Israel. About all them names: Scythian, barbarian, blacks, color, African, Mexican, Puerto Rican, Nigerians, all that stuff. All these names that you got is talking about the 12 tribes of Israel up on the many names. And that's what we come to tell you. He only gave you one name for salvation, see, brother. But you have chose to be called Nigerians and everything. And that puts you in a cursed situation. And everybody come in contact with you. But all these many names, all these names on page 123 that you called, and this is by Raymond Kapp, the missing, he is a missing link, but it's only missing to those that you don't want to continue staying in them 66 books. But see, we going to show you solidly every name that been called, you've been called, barbarians, Jews, Greeks, Gentiles, all this talking about a barbarian is talking about the lost mind of the children of Israel. See? It told you plainly what you were going to do in 65:15. It told you plainly what was going to happen to you, what it said going to happen to you in 65:15 of the book of Isaiah. Yeah, what it says in Isaiah will happen to you in 65:15.
The book of Isaiah, chapter 65, verse 15. Verse 15 reads, and you shall leave your name for a curse unto my chosen, for Yahweh shall slay you and call his servant by another name.
Yeah, Scythians, Gomerians, Kumarians, all these names that you read in this book, every name, when you came out of Assyrian captivity, you was not allowed to take your name. Didn't you read that in the book we read earlier over there in the book that you have to leave your name and all become? Let's go back there. Let's go back and read it. Let's see what he says. Now, come on back to the second book of Maccabees. We stopped off at 6 verse 2. Somewhere we stopped at 6 verse 2 somewhere.
Yeah, we're going back to the second book of Maccabees.
We read all the way down
to verse 4.
Okay, all right. Good. Excellent. That's pretty good mind. I like that. Okay, read a little bit more. And what did he say? What did he say? Read verse 4 again. Call it out
okay.
Again, verse 4.
The book of Maccabees, chapter 6, picking back up at verse 4. Verse 4 reads, for the temple was filled with riot and raveling by the Gentiles, who dealt with harlots and had to do with women within the circuit of the righteous places, and besides that, that were not lawful. Verse 5, the altar also was filled with profane things, with the Torah instructions forbidden. Verse 6, neither was it lawful for a man to keep Sabbath days of ancient feasts, or to profess himself at all to be a polluted word Jew for the word of Yada. Verse 7, and in the day of the king's birth, every month, they were bought by bitter constraint to eat of the sacrifices. And when the feast of...
Let me get in there. See, now that go to the beginning of your birthdays, you know, birthdays. So now you know where your birthdays come from. But you couldn't even call yourself by your nationality. And that's why you asked the Christian what your nationality said. My nationality, I'm a Christian. They say, my nationality is a Christian. So we already know where you get it from. See, you couldn't even confess. You had to pass it on. You couldn't even call yourself Southern Kingdom, Yahdah Judah, or Northern Kingdom Israel was already gone to America. You couldn't even use your national name. You supposed to be put to death. And you couldn't keep no ancient feast days like you're doing. You got to keep Sunday like you're doing now. You couldn't wear no more fringes like you're doing now. You know, all these things that you're doing today, you can trace right back to 2 Maccabees chapter 6, 1 through 9. Everything. See? Everything you can trace back to 1 through 9. Continue reading, stay on down to 6 through 9. You're in 6, 7, 8, 9. Let's read. Let's read exactly and tell me, look in the mirror and tell me, do you fulfill any of this right now? 6, 7, 8, 9, what it say?
Okay, the book of 2 Maccabees, chapter 6, verse 6 down to 9. Verse 6 reads, neither was it lawful for a man to keep Sabbath day or ancient feasts, or to profane or to profess himself or herself at all to be Judah. Polluted word Judah, or Yada, or polluted word Jew. Verse 7, and in the day of the king's birth, every month, they were bought by bitter constraint to eat of the sacrifices. And when the feast of was kept, Yada, polluted word Jews, were compelled to go in possession to Bacchus carrying ice. Verse 8, moreover, there went out a decree to the neighbor cities of the heathen, the nation, by the suggestions of Ptolemy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Ptolemy against the polluted word Jew for Yada, that they should observe the same fashion and be partakers of their sacrifices. verse 9. Whoso would not conform themselves to the manners of the Gentiles, the nations, shall be put to death. Then might a man have seen the present misery.
You see that? You couldn't infest yourself to all to be. That's why Paul was telling you, that's what he was saying. See, you're not none of that. He's saying you neither Jew nor Gentile, no barbarian, no Scythian, you're none of that stuff. See, that was that really meant, see, Roy. Because Paul had the history, you was called by all the many names, and we just read the missing link discovery and showing you that you was called every name you call today. See, when you went into captivity, you left your name for a curse. You got a curse name on you. Bunningham. What's your last name? Bunningham. Or Harrison. Harrison Bonds. You have left your name for a curse. 11:26 of Acts. You have left your name for a curse. 11, I read where you see. I'm showing you some more names you left your name for. Here goes some more names you have left your name for. Acts 11:26.
You say chapter 7:26?
Acts chapter 11, verse 26. He said, you also left your name for a curse. And let's see what name you left your name for. You identify with it. You can read. He said, you're going to leave your name. Your name is Israel. Mr. Scythian, Gomeros, and all the names that you've been called. See, you wonder what happened to the children of Israel when he went out into captivity. A lot of them, some of them came to America. Some went to other places. But everywhere they wrote in the records, they called you by another name, see, Roy? And this book of Missing Link Discovery would tell you all the names that you was called by. But you talk about the same people, Northern Kingdom of Israel. Some came to America. Some went to parts of Ham called Africa. Some over there in Iran, Iraq. But you call by the name that they gave you, see, Royal. You're not called. We're going to have to show you that you are Israel by the covenant that's in you to bring out once we get there. This teaching got to go to every nation. And in the Missing Link Discovery will tell you by E. Raymond Capp that all these names, the Sumerians, is the same thing as the Sumerians, all these names they got, these are names that you've been called today. Your capital is called Sumerian. They got a man called Sumerian. All these names right here, using all these providence, and you was called by their name, just like today you called by the name African American, Negro, and Supercoon, right? So these are him. So you can read this. The Sumerians, the Comerians, all these names. We can go on. So if you understand all these names, is the children of Israel scattered upon a many names from the curse that Yahweh put on you, saying you're going to leave your name for a curse. Now you're so happy by calling yourself the William Reunion. All in this cursed name, children of Israel. That's all it is. Leave your name for a curse. Here goes some more names that you're going to leave for a curse. Well, look what it says. Let's see. You'll get two names right here. 11:26 of Acts. What is that?
The book of Acts, chapter 11, verse 26. 26 reads, and when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church. And
good.
Much teach.
Good. And the church. The church. That's one name you was called, the church. Go ahead.
And the followers were called Christians.
And you was called Christians. So you're not the, listen, big camps. You're not the first Christian. In time you identify being Christian, that's a curse to you and your congregation. You're not the first Christian. They always have called you names. You don't supposed to identify the name. You supposed to identify the name the man gave you. So you not the, well, we are the Christian too. No, you not the Christian, period. That's a cursed name to you. So you the leader, stop telling the people that we was called Christian first. So what? We was called something else first in 13 verse 1. What it says in Acts 13 verse 1. Let me see.
Back.
The young lion gonna knock us out the park. We was called something else in 13 verse 1.
Book of Acts 13:1 read. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain elders and teachers.
Yeah.
As Barnabas and Simeon that was called nigger.
And they was called what? They was called what? Nigger. That's what they was called. You was called nigger. You was called nigger. And you called nigger the name. Remember, you go back in Latin, and that's what the word means. It's nigger. That's what you was called nigger. They was called nigger there. There's right there. All of them, Simeon, was over there. Black nigger. They was called black nigger. They called Simeon Peter, right? Simon, Simeon, Peter. Black nigger. See, right there, see, right? You was getting all these things. Black nigger Peter.
Mm-hmm.
And 13. Simeon. See? Simeon. Now called Peter. Simon. Black nigger Peter. See? The word means black. It means nigger. They talk about the children of Israel. See, you was called all these names, but all these names you identify now, them is cursed names to you. The word church is polluted for the whole congregation of children of Israel, the peoples of Yahweh, when you call yourself the church. That's polluted.
Mm-hmm.
Call yourself nigger, black negro, and all that. That's polluted. See, we got a whole lot of work to do for you. Let's get on a little bit of this Passover for a minute there. The big camp, we're going to talk about the Passover. Let's even get on a little bit of this Passover over that going on, because the big dignitary made it plain. We kept all the other moderators out of the room. All the one come on stage, we deliberately locked them out the room. You see, that's how they roll. They deliberately locked them out of the room. You see, they going to do their thing, but we won't do our thing. They going to do their thing, but we refuse to do our thing by getting in order. Take a look at some of this Passover real quick. Let's go to Hosea chapter 5. We'll look at verse 6, skip down to 9 through 11. Let's see what it says. Because like I said, all the big dignitaries, they're going to do the Passover with the moons, and they're going to come up 10 days too soon. They're going to do everything. But what can we do? All we can do is show you what the book's saying. Hosea chapter 5, polluted for Joshua. Joshua's polluted for Hosea. Chapter 5, verse 6, 9 through 11, what it say?
Okay. The book of Hosea, polluted word. The book of Joshua, polluted word, Hosea, chapter 5, verse 6 and verse 9 down to 11. Verse 6 reads, 4, the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness to all the people that were men of war, which came out of Egypt, polluted word for Mazarene, were consumed. Because they obeyed not the voice of Yahuwah, unto whom Yahuwah swear that he would not show them the land, which Yahuwah swear unto their father, that he would give up a land that flows with milk and honey. Verse 9 reads, and Yahuwah said unto Hosea, have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt, polluted word from Mazarene, from off you. Wherefore, the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day. Verse 10. And the family of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at evening in the plains of Jericho. Verse 11. And they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and purged corn in the self.
See that? Now they don't roll back their reproach. And he told them the same thing he told Moses. They kept the Passover on the 14th day. See? The 14th day was the Passover. So listen, see, right? The Yahweh rolled back their reproach. So the Passover on the 14th day. On the 14th day. That's when the Passover on. Really want to call it a month, but it's on the 14th day. That's when the Passover is, see, right? Yahweh rolled back the reproach. They out of Egypt. Now, they keep the Passover when? On the 14th day. They wasn't keeping no Passover with no moons. They were keeping the Passover on the 14th day. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 23. 1, 2, and 3. 21 through 25. We're going to 2 Kings 23. 1, 2, and 3. Get down to 21, down to verse 25. The Passover is on the 14th day. That's it. So we'll tell you what month, but it's on the 14th day. That when they kept the Passover. But we're going to add a little bit more to it for the lesson though. We're going to 2 Kings 23, 1, 2, and 3, 21 through 25. So you see, Yahweh was holding the hand of Hoshea. He said, now you roll back your reproach. Now you keep Passover on the 14th day. That's what he said to him. 2 Kings 23, 1, 2, and 3. Then skip down to 21 through 25. Listen good. Come on.
The book of 2 Kings, chapter 23, verses 1 through 3 and 21 down to 25. Verse 1 reads, and the king sent, and they gathered unto him all the elders of Judah, polluted word for Yada, end of Yada, polluted word Jerusalem. Verse 2. And the king went up into the temple of Yahweh, and all the men of Yada, polluted word Judah, and all the habitations of Yada, polluted word Jerusalem. Let me read that over. And the priests and the elders and all the people, both small and great, and he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the temple of Yahweh. Verse 3. And the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before Yahweh to walk after Yahweh and to keep his Torah instructions in his covenant and his Torah instructions with all their mind and with all their body to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people stood to the covenant. Verse 21, and it reads, and the king commanded all the people, saying, keep the Passover unto Yahweh, your Yahweh, as it is written in the book of this covenant. Verse 22, surely there was not holding such a Passover from the days of the judges that judged Israel, nor in all the days of the kings of Israel, 10 northern kingdom, nor in the kings of Yada, polluted word Judah. Verse 23. But in the 18th year of King Josiah, wherein the Passover was holding to Yahweh in Yada, polluted word Jerusalem.
Read verse 2 again.
Okay. Okay, the book of 2 Kings, chapter 23, verse 2. Verse 2 reads, and the king went up into the house of Yah, to the temple of Yahweh, and all the men of Yada, polluted word Judah, and all the inhabitants of Yada, polluted word Jerusalem, with him, and the priests, and the elders, small and great. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the temple of Yahuwah.
So the peoples went up. The people didn't sit behind their curtains and on these feast days, Sabbath days, or whatever. No, they went up. He said all the big dignitaries did it, and all the peoples went up to the temple. All of them went up to the temple. They did not sit there and did not get in where they fit in and bump shoulders. No, they didn't stay at their own private facility. He said all the big dignitaries did it, and all the peoples came to the temple to catch, to keep the Passover. All of them did it. See that say right here? There's right there, verse 2. So that's what you emphasize. How you do the Passover? All come up to the six anointed camps and keep the Passover. When? On the 14th day. What kind of way? As it is written. What happened to the moon talk? It ain't no moon talk. You do it on the 14th day. What kind of way? As it is written. You do the Passover as is written. That's what they did. So you go and see what's written, and that's what you do. That's easy. Let's go to Numbers chapter 9, 1 through 5. Then I'll expound on that real quick. We're going to Numbers chapter 9, 1 through 5. Listen to this.
The book of Numbers, chapter 9, verses 1 through 5. Verse 1 reads, and Yahuwah spake unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the first month of the second year after they were come out of the land of Egypt. Polluted word, Mazarene. Verse 2. Let the family of Israel also keep the Passover at his appointed season. Verse 3. In the 14th day of this month and in his appointed season, according to all the rites of it, and according to all the ceremonies thereof, shall you keep it. Verse 4. And Moses spake unto the family of Israel that they should keep the Passover. Verse 5.
Yes.
And they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the first month at evening in the wilderness of Sinai, according to all that Yahuwah commanded Moses. So did the family of Israel.
So now you see. So now you let the Bible tell you what month on the 14th day. The first month. And one thing about all the camps they're clear about, that first month is Abib. So now you're clear about that. Now let's read 13 verse 4. What the name of the first month and 13 verse of the first month? We go on read it in Exodus 13. See, let the Bible do all the big, tall, big britches of talking. All you got to do is point at the verses. You know it's on the 14th day. We just precept it back to Exodus 13, verse 4 and 10. That's all we do. 13, verse 4 and 10. Listen to this. See, this is how you take hold of the hypocrites. Well, we don't know when the Passover. We're doing a new moon. Listen, why don't you do the Bible? 13, verse 4 and 10 says what?
Okay, the book of Exodus, chapter 13, verse 4 and verse 10. Verse 4 reads, this day came you out in the month Abib. Verse 10 reads, you should therefore keep this ordinance in his season from year to year.
Abib, year to year, on the 14th day. Look how plain that is. The month Abib, which is the first month. Now, what Abib means, we go right back to the ninth chapter and read verse 1 and 5. What do A, okay, you got a problem with the name called Abib because there was no A. Okay, good. Then let Yahuwah tell you what that means in 9 verse 1 and 5. Let him tell you what it means then. It was no A, and it was no E. Okay, good. We clear about that. Then we'll let Yahweh do the talking in the ninth chapter of Numbers, verse 1 and verse 5. Let's see what he say, what the first month, what that mean, what do 8 bib mean? 1 and 5, come on.
The book of Numbers, chapter 9, verse 1 through 5. Verse 1 reads.
1 and 5. 1 and 5.
Okay, verses 1 and 5. Verse 1 reads, and Yahweh spake unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, in the first month of the second year, after they were come out of the land of Egypt, polluted word for Mazarene, saying, verse 5, and they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the first month at evening in the wilderness of Sinai, according to all that Yahweh commanded Moses, so did the family of Israel.
It said, and Yahweh spake unto Moses. So Abib means number one, first month. Abib is number one. So if you want to say the name Abib, that's number one, because there ain't no way. Big Cap called me, said, there ain't no way